Welcome to Brave New Bookshelf, a podcast that explores the fascinating intersection of AI and authorship. Join hosts Steph Padonis and Danica Favorite as they dive into thought-provoking discussions, debunk myths, and highlight the transformative role of AI in the publishing industry.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Brave New Bookshelf. I'm one of your co-hosts, Steph Pajonas, CTO of Future Fiction Academy, where we teach authors how to use AI in any part of their business. We are rocking along as usual. I think that's what I usually say when I open up these podcasts. Like, we're just rocking around
this week. So good.
We're doing a lot around here. The effort to keep things moving in my life. We are having lots of interviews and doing lots of fun stuff with the podcast. And that is exciting for me, especially to see and talk to people that I know and enjoy talking to. And we'll be doing that today. But before that happens, I'm going to hand off to my lovely co-host, Danica Favorite. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm really good. I'm getting all the stuff time this week. We are recording a bunch of podcasts, getting a few in the bank because it's going to be a busy summer. It's exciting because we get to see each other a lot right now. For those of you who don't know me, I am the community manager at PublishDrive, where we help authors and publishers at every stage of their journey, from getting their manuscript formatted to using our AI tools to get the metadata and book descriptions and book covers for their book, as well as then finally getting your book distributed to the largest available marketplaces. And then finally, once your book is out there, we help you split your royalties. So lots of cool stuff. And I love that we get to work with the FFA because, of course, if you're like, I need help writing the book, they can help you write the book. They can help you market the book. They can help do all of the things. And I love that between our two companies, everything you need for publishing really is right there. Super excited to be here and really excited to have our guest today, Michael Evans. Steph and I have known Michael for a long time, but I feel like I say that about most of our guests. It's kind of a small world, but I love it. So we've known and loved Michael for a long time. He's got his new business. Some of you may have heard of Author Sidekick, and that is Michael's lovely brainchild. And a few weeks ago, I was reading one of his blogs on Substack. Gee, another person on Substack. So hopefully you guys can get on Substack. But anyway, he had a great blog on AI agents, and I thought we've got to have Michael in to talk about this. And so we were talking to Michael a little beforehand saying, yeah, we want to hear about the AI agents because people are really curious about it. And he says, also, I've got this other thing about AI movies. And I'm like, okay, I guess we're talking about that too. So we're going to get some really cool insight from Michael today. Now I would like to introduce you to our good friend, Michael Evans.
Hi. So awesome to be here. Brave New Bookshelf. I'm don't have a bookshelf behind me, which is super sad, but I am super excited to chat about AI because really, if there's any topic in publishing that excites me right now, it is AI. And maybe I think it's such a broad topic that I think I might have some things excite me that maybe don't excite others that maybe folks aren't as aware of. So I'm hopefully excited to dive into some things that hopefully are new to some people here. And if not, then hopefully you at least have fun listening. But what I do with Author Sidekick is help authors unleash their marketing superpowers to help them sell more books and connect with readers. And where AI always interests me is it's, I think, an accelerant to a lot of people's superpowers and also is this huge, real, incredible tool that can be used to lower the cost of creation, make things easier, give you another sidekick, really, because I can't be by your side every single moment as the author sidekick. So I'm very interested in AI, very excited to dive into this conversation and talk about it. And I'm really grateful to you all for hosting this space, bringing together so many people in the industry to talk about this, because there's just, funnily enough, when there's something this big, there's also at the same time really not enough productive conversations being had about it. So really grateful for you guys and the work you've done for the community for years now on this front. Really, you guys are pioneers.
Love that. I don't think we know everything. And that's why we bring in the guests, is to make sure we have the people who are doing the things that maybe we're not doing yet or can explain it a little better than us to be part of that. Thanks for being part of this. And thanks for being part of that movement to help authors understand AI better.
It's candidly, like, no one can even close to understand everything. Like, the speed at which it's all moving at, you basically have to be tackling this problem as a community to even approach having awareness.
It's true. Even somebody like me who's working with AI literally all the time, every day, there's only so much I can put in my brain and so many tools that I can be aware of because they're coming out like a big fire hose, right? It's like one after another after another. So it's good to talk to other people and to see what's going on. And this is one of the wonderful things about having this podcast now because we can hear about these things from other people too.
To get started, let's find out. I want to hear about how you're approaching AI in publishing. What is that approach? How are you seeing it and using it? What you're seeing with the work you're doing in publishing?
Yeah, I know that y'all have brought on many different types of folks into the podcast, many authors, many other people working a little bit more on the industry side, like me. I started off as a science fiction author, which I guess I've always been more futurist leaning. This was back in 2017 when I was indie publishing. And then, really, 4 years ago, but especially so over the last 3.5 years, I've really driven deep on the industry side and thinking more about the technology side of publishing and leading various ventures there. And now, how I approach thinking about AI, where I really spend my time, is looking at what new business model opportunities and really how this industry can expand its total addressable market or the number of people we can impact through AI. So that's really what I'm excited about is like, how can we unlock new growth in publishing as an entire segment? And then I think for individual authors, there's obviously incredible opportunity to utilize these tools to grow your own business and make things happen faster too, which of course I'm also interested in. But if I was to be honest with what intellectually excites me the most is I think that very few times in history, if we look back through technology of information technology in particular, you obviously have the printing press, you have like distribution of mass media, you've got like the rise of big bookstores, and then you've got the rise of the internet, Kindle, and now we're entering a stage where we're having AI. And I think that AI should be viewed as big of a moment as these types of massive revolutions. We don't know how it's going to pan out yet, but when a new technology window opens up, what I'm most curious for is not just what kind of creations can be made, but how do those new creations, again, lead to a new business model? Because each time we've seen a shift in who makes money in publishing and how they make money, and also who's paying for it and how they're paying for it in terms of these stories. I don't see demand for storytelling going down. I see it going up. And I also see the impact of individual storytellers greatly increasing. So, what I'm most interested in now is when we think about the industry of publishing and we think about ourselves as storytellers, not authors, I think in 5 years, the word indie author is going to be less and less often used because it's less instructive of what we're actually doing because we're actually storytellers first and foremost. And authorship, we think of in the context of books and the format of the book. But if we're able to use these tools to create mediums well beyond books and monetize and really reach discovery in industries well beyond what we think of as a traditional author, then we're not necessarily indie authors anymore. We're independent storytellers. So that's the question that I'm most excited about. And whether it's games, whether it's movies, whether it's music, opening these opportunities up to more and more storytellers. You brought up AI agents as well. I'm curious to see where that goes. And I'm also very excited by how those can help, especially full-time authors. But I'm always wary when we think about automation from like a business operations standpoint. I think that sometimes for authors who are just getting started, if you don't have necessarily workflows in place yet because you're just getting started, AI plays a different role for you and still a valuable role, but a different role than like an AI agent who might go out and be able to like make all your newsletter campaigns and be able to go up and follow up with your readers and create 1,000 ad images of you. I know an author right now who has Haleo and Midjourney running on their machine and has 1,800 different short form videos being created in 36 hours to promote one of her books. And then that's going to go off and like actually be a bunch of different TikToks and Facebook ads, which is brilliant. That's less of a cool thing, although freaking awesome. Less of a cool thing if you don't have a story yet that has an audience that people like, because otherwise, like, why are you putting money behind something, right? And why are you creating 1,800 videos to promote something that you're not sure is a good product yet? So I think that's where like the segmenting of the conversation is interesting. AI impacts so many different people in different ways. It's not one size fits all. But for me, the things I'm excited about are how do we help authors who are scaling do it without basically killing all their time and being super stressed out? And then How do we help authors at any stage be able to not just be authors, but to be truly multimedia storytellers and to basically build their own mini Disney? And I think that future is not really a future anymore. It's just unequally distributed. And maybe after this podcast, that future will be distributed to you.
I am so jazzed about this because I have been saying for a long time that AI is one of these, it's like a force multiplier, right? So if you're a little burgeoning author and you don't have much yet, sure, and putting AI into your process is going to give you that next oomph up, you know, where you're going to be going. But if you're one of these people that's already got 30 books out, 50 books out, 100 books out, it's a force multiplier and boom, suddenly you are really huge. I feel like if you can just use the tools to just get you to that like next step, and then from there to that next step after that, you can use these tools in order to make that even better, even bigger, even louder, all the things that we need to do in order to reach our audience. And I totally agree about the storyteller. I've been saying for a long time that we're storytellers. It doesn't matter if you typed that word onto the screen or if you spoke your story out loud or you acted it out in a one act on a community theater stage. All of these things are stories, and the way that we get them to people is not really the thing that matters so much, right? You want to be able to express yourself in a way that's creative to you. So maybe that is with words, or maybe it's with images or video or these sorts of things. So when we add in these AI tools and we're getting the chance to express ourselves in the way that we're excited about, it shows in the final product, and you're going to be able to see people's stories come to life. That's super exciting to me.
Yeah. And also as well, words are really an abstraction, or however you choose to express yourself, are an abstraction of our ideas. And I think like the truest version of yourself is the version of yourself inside of your brain that we all try to understand. And no one really knows what's going on in there, but we try to tap into that and we try and share that with the world and with our readers or viewers or whoever that category is you're going after. The AI conversations around it is LLMs, because there's been incredible progress from large language models. But they have two interesting effects, is that it's not just about you using language to now be able to turn language into a bunch of other things, but it's also being able to have your own language really supercharged by this thing that's able to help you flesh out your ideas so that you're not having all this friction to say, okay, I had this beautiful idea, but I don't know how to put it down onto paper. Guess what? This thing can help you now. And you're not limited to just that tool. You can lean on author friends. You can lean on anyone in your life. But let's be real. If it's 1 a.m., your partner's sleeping, and your author friends are all maybe sleeping, or maybe they're up late like you on Discord or whatever, you might just feel like this is the easiest way to be able to get help. And it also extends beyond just thinking about the creation of content, but thinking about the marketing aspect as well, which I love, which is like, how can we innovate more there? Let's say you hate writing newsletters, but you're able to spend more time now thinking about how can we create an interesting experience for readers? What's that prompt going to be to myself first and foremost, and then maybe to a machine that can lead to something that's going to actually engage folks? Because when we're thinking about publishing, the truth is that we haven't seen some crazy disruption to the business model with AI. And I actually think that we're going to see crazy disruption in other sectors, but that isn't necessarily going to be books, because even if you have something like Plot Drive helping you create a book much, much faster than maybe you would be able to traditionally, and still of great quality, right? Potentially even greater quality than you would alone. That's certainly what's possible today. That's not a fictional future. This sounds weird and it feels uncomfortable, but like, wow, someone created a book and let's call it a day or 2 days of work versus maybe 14 or 15 days of work, because people think it takes a year to labor of a book. Even in a pre-AI era, I remember my fastest book I produced was 14 days. I'm not the fastest writer in the world. Mind you, I'm probably in the faster end of the spectrum. But when we look at that from like a business overall industry perspective, 14 days to 1 day when it's one person's time isn't actually all that disruptive. It's in the sense of an industry-wide scope. It's really hyper useful. It's hyper useful for you as an individual storyteller. But we haven't seen publishing fall apart. We haven't seen, quote unquote, AI books flood everything, because that was never really going to happen. But more importantly, our industry is based on a power law in which very few books sell a ton. And the most of the cost and most of the advantage is coming in from the distribution aspect, by tapping into culture and being able to increase your word of mouth and being able to increase your distribution either algorithmically or through some other sales channel you're able to get in front of eyeballs. So that's where a lot of the dollars are going into still, and they already were. Disruption has taken place, but it's more disruption that helps you, the individual, if you choose to use it. But now what I'm seeing is something different, which is that there's other sectors movies, for instance, in games, where the disruption is going to be unbelievable because it never costed $1 million to make a book. You could make a book for, in terms of human time, several thousand dollars, right? That's the truth. Movies cost millions traditionally. You can produce indie film for much cheaper than that, but you're still talking about exponentially more than it produced to cost a book. Now, if we're bringing that cost exponentially closer to zero, it's not going to be at zero, but exponentially closer. We're seeing massive disruption. Same thing in games, right? It costs on average $60 million, whatever, to produce a AAA game. And then you've got like everything else that goes into it, the marketing budget. There's these other industries that are being disrupted right now that storytellers now can think about, how does my IP play into it? How do I want to now break into that? And where the conversation around AI gets really exciting, because I think for so long we've had this scarcity mindset around this technology, around there is only so many readers, there is only so many number one bestsellers, so maybe it's taking away from us. And I want to say I get that, because you weren't given a reason to believe in a ton more, because yeah, this author's been getting it from an individually, this author's been getting it from an individually, but there's this disruption happening, and who is it really helping? It feels like it's helping big tech and maybe the individual author is taking advantage of it. And it feels almost like nihilistic. Go for it, but and yes, it's great for that person, but what does this really do for the industry? And a lot of people again felt like, I don't see the growth, so I only see downward slope. I don't see harm. I want to be very clear there. And I think that's an important point. But what I actually see, which is really exciting, is unbelievable growth, and that we're actually able to tap into a much, much bigger market where the KU page read payout pool or whatever, that's a lot of money. But I just worked for a single creator who this year, and I'm saying this because The Information reported it too, their deck got leaked. So I can say this now, and no one can get mad at me for the NDA. Mr. Beast is going to make close to $1 billion this year. So I worked for a single creator who's going to make more than every author in the entire world combined will get paid out in KU this year. And that guy started with nothing and was making nothing, like even 5 years ago, really. So that's why I believe in abundance, because the ceiling that this is all possible in, individual creators, storytelling online, is way bigger than you probably just believed 30 seconds ago.
I like that you put it in the framing of abundance because I think that too many authors have that scarcity mentality. And it's interesting to me because we don't talk a lot about it. I know there's like certain areas of the author community that will talk about it. And certainly it's an area that I really believe in. And I know Steph also leans in that direction as well. It's just this idea that we have to believe in that abundance and we have to look at things with that abundance mentality because there's so many authors with that scarcity mentality who thinks that the author pie is this big and each of us gets a slice of that pie. Sorry, I was holding up my hands in a little circle gesture to show a pie for those of you who are listening. But yeah, like we've always been believing this lie as authors that there is a pie. It is X number big, and we all are fighting to get a slice of that pie. But if instead we say there is this abundance out there with no limitation, and we can all have as much as we want, that's a totally different way of looking at it. And so thanks for bringing that up because it's a huge passion of mine, and I never get to talk about it as much as I like. So I'm like, yes.
Yeah, I think it's super important for everyone to remember, because the folks here who are listening to this, y'all are not going to be the typical person in the author community. And I mean that in a beautiful way. You're ahead of the curve here, that or you just were sent this and are now getting ahead of the curve. This is not your first time tuning into the Brave New Bookshelf. You see it, but I think that it's very easy to lose the script because the meta narrative of society right now, and I'm not going to get political, there's no reason for it, but the meta narrative of society at large is scarcity. It's this whole idea that this person took away from us, however they did, whether they moved into the country or they automated something. It's this idea of taketh away, they taketh away. And I studied history of science in college. I love history as much as I love the future. And history proves that there are periods of stagnation, periods where things are scarce, but that was a choice that we made together as a society. So when I say that there is abundance, I'm actually not saying that as a certainty. I'm saying that as an opportunity. I'm saying that because we have to will that future into an existence and create it together. So if we're not actively pursuing what could be and trying to create more and dreaming at the edges of what's possible, literally trying to create the brave new bookshelf, if that's not what we're doing, then maybe we will prove the meta narrative right. And that's good for no one. That's good for no pro AI or anti AI or someone in between. That's good for absolutely no one. So I think that's our responsibility as folks who are here in this conversation is you get to wield this technology, not just for your life, but for the unbelievable greater good of learning, disseminating, and building a whole new culture and practice around an industry that can stand for and be much more than we thought. So I think that's like my inspiring moment, and I'm excited to get more practical, but that's my big picture, like why I'm so excited about this. And why for a long time, I think I was quieter about it, mostly because I don't have necessarily some AI tool that I've created or that I'm even planning to necessarily create. I didn't necessarily have a reason to be in the conversation in some big way because I didn't feel like I had that much to add. But then I realized the thing I have to add is hope. So I'm giving you that hope. And I think we all need it right now.
I completely agree. And thank you for the inspiring moment. Like I said, this is a huge passion of mine. I know Steph is also in that same category. And I think you're right. And that is 100% why Brave New Bookshelf exists, is we wanted to be able to give that hope and to give that information and knowledge to other authors. Because seriously, you guys, I've said this on the show before, I am a tech dummy. I'm really bad at tech stuff. And I can do this. You guys can too. With that, let's move into some of those practical things you were talking about. Tell us about your practical stuff that you've got to share today.
Yeah, let's start with AI agents because that was the first thing we talked about. But then let's move into movies because I'm excited about both. But when it comes to AI agents, it's a space that is evolving quickly, but with Claude's Model Context Protocol, which it's like abbreviated MCP, but I'm no expert on it. The short story in it is that it's essentially a thing that Claude built that allows AI tools to communicate with other things on the internet through Claude so that you can basically say, hey, Claude, I want you to go do this for me in my Google Doc or go do this for me on this website if it's hooked up to it. And theoretically, and this theoretical thing is becoming true very quickly, Zapier just integrated with MCP. I saw that announcement from their CEO, I believe yesterday, maybe it was today. More of the internet now is being exposed directly to LLMs, which is interesting because we've used to been asking an LLM, hey, like I have this idea, or hey, can you output this thing for me? And it being a more like chatbot experience. But how I have seen this described, because I do not claim to be an expert on this in any way, is the chatbot interface of working with artificial intelligence in particular is very similar to maybe the like command line way interacting with the internet in the early days. So we're still waiting for great graphical user interfaces, great actual like web browsers, like the equivalent of all the things we use to interface with the internet now. And my actual piece of advice, because a lot of this stuff is I'm not prepared to be an expert teacher to you. I'm also so aware that it's evolving and that a lot of these things when it comes to agents are literally just going to change in 3 to 6 months. So to not date this podcast, what you need to think about is one really key thing, which is in your business, think about it as a quadrant of 4 different types of tasks. There's things you absolutely love and create a lot of value for you, meaning money, because we're running businesses. I want to be clear about that. Emotional value is great, but that's the love part. So you love it and it creates a lot of like economic value for you. Then you have things that you love but don't create a lot of economic value for you. Then you have things you hate and that don't create a lot of economic value for you. Then you have things you hate and they do create a lot of economic value for you. The things you love in general, I'm not asking you to immediately change your workflow or imagine how that could be different. I think that's important, but that's not where I think you should start. The things that don't make you money and that you hate, I think you should stop doing. And I don't even think you should think about automating for the most part. And if you have to do it, like taxes, fair enough. But I always bring in a serious question. If it's not effective and it's not making you money, do you have to be doing it? For instance, I see a lot of authors talk about automating their social media posts. And don't get me wrong, like, that's a cool idea. But if social media doesn't make you money, and if you're still getting no views and no likes in your Instagram posts, cool. You just automated something that's pretty much effectively useless. So that was a wasted time. You're better off thinking about how can you make the thing itself better, which you could use AI to do. Hey, my social media posts, I don't want to automate. I want to think about how can I make them better. Here's all my performance of my social media posts. Here's my outliers, aka which ones have done better and why. So which one got 100 impressions versus 10 on average, and then feed it into it and literally try and have it tell you why it did better. If you can't think that yourself, because you could also go through the same process yourself. Now, the quadrant that's really exciting to me is where you hate it, but it makes you money. And here are some obvious areas of it. If you're selling direct, like all these Klaviyo or you don't have to use Klaviyo, similar like automation flows, like abandoned checkout or abandoned recovery, excuse me. You might have like post-purchase follow-ups. You might have all these different things. Or another area, when we think about like Facebook ads, creating like a bunch of different images in Midjourney that like will be different variations to try and find winning images. These are areas that are quite probably profitable for you. That's a very good thing. If they are, I would love that. But you might also hate them. So where I'm really excited about agents is being able to say all the admin work of pressing these buttons, of having to go in and go, okay, mailing list, like I now need to go out to this segment, to that segment. You can just use natural language, right, to be able to execute all of these tasks. Now, my one kind of qualm with AI agents is that I don't know how much the big platforms are going to open themselves up to it. Specifically, like I'm curious to see how open Facebook is to it. I'm curious to see how open YouTube is to it. They might not be. So there might be a lot of places where AI agents break because I don't know how far they're going to be able to extend themselves. Obviously, you have like Operator with ChatGPT that can do a lot itself too. We have to see how tech plays together. But when it comes to mailing list providers, it's a very clear area where you should start to think about, okay, how can I take the best practices of what an incredible email looks like and only do that? So instead of thinking about writing 10 more newsletters every week after I write a newsletter, I want you to think about writing the SOP, the standard operating procedure, for the best newsletter ever, with examples, because examples can be good, with example headlines, and create one thing. And maybe it takes you more time than what you'd normally write one newsletter with. But if you build that crazy prompt, you'll be able to use that forever in the future. And now that prompt could also be used eventually too to just send it out yourself, like the go for it, Claude or whatever. So I think that's where I'm really excited about automation for authors when it comes to agents, is diving deep into specific workflows, building out incredible prompts by creating literally the best possible version of what that thing could be, and then never having to make any one thing ever again. So that's a little bit hyperbolic, but not too hyperbolic, because if you give something one really good thing, it can create 10, 20, 30 different versions of it. So that's how I would think about it. When you're thinking about automating, dive deeper, come up with better prompts, and also more importantly, because it's going to take time to do this right, really think about, do I need to be doing this? Is it actually profitable for me? Is this something that actually generates value in my business? Or can I just not do this at all and move on with my life?
Yeah, I love agents because mostly I can get them to do the things that I really just don't want to do. So that's definitely goes down into that quadrant where it's like the things I don't like to do, but I know that they move the needle. So I get the agent to do that. I'm definitely at this point in my life. I'm almost 50. I'll be 50 in January, where if I hate it and it does not move the needle, it's gone. That quadrant of my life does not even exist anymore.
Get it out.
Get it out. Go. Bye-bye. But I would love to come back and start talking about the movies. I'm interested in this, as a lot of people who know me or have been around the Brave New Bookshelf for a while know that in the beginning of the year, I experimented with doing some audio chapter versions of my books with AI images, which I sometimes also turned into AI video as well. And I would edit them all up and put onto YouTube. And it was fun. And it was seriously really inspiring and exciting. But it was also frustrating sometimes because the technology wasn't necessarily there yet. I kept having a lot of inconsistencies with my images and whatnot. But I could tell that for shorter works, especially things like a 30-second reel or a TikTok or these sorts of things where you're trying to show the vibe of your book and show the way that you want your readers to feel when they're reading it, that it was really good for that kind of stuff. And I know that is something that you're super interested in.
Yeah. First of all, have you seen the TikTok page Time Traveler POV?
No, I haven't. I will go look it up when I'm done here.
Yeah, it's great. And a call out to folks listening. Great page. So I think they're doing something that is a very interesting framework to approach this. So when I was working for Mr. Beast, I took a brief like hiatus from the publishing industry, for folks who don't know, and I went to go work in the strategy team for Mr. Beast. I had like kind of three different areas I worked on. One was data and analytics for the main channel, which is why I was talking about using ChatGPT as a thought partner to get an area of your business that might not be generating economic value for you yet, but you hate. Instead of thinking about automating it, think about improving the process first, then automating that process. And a lot of that came back to data when it comes to at least marketing and discoverability, which I imagine is going to be where most of these tasks bucket to for folks when it comes to the, it's not working and I hate it and I want to automate it. It's wait, the not working red flag. Let's dive in. I did platform relationships, which was fun. But then I also was able to dive really deeply into new technology and AI and how we could use that to make the videos better itself, but also thinking about like brand new disruption to the whole process they have. When it comes to where I see the opportunity right now in AI video, it's imagining completely new or new genres within existing content formats that never would have been profitable to ever create. Time Traveler POV is a really good case study in this. They would be incredible marketing for a historical fiction author. They're essentially creating future histories or mostly like past histories. Okay. One of the videos I remember very distinctly. You wake up in Chernobyl, right? And you have 11 labs doing the different sound effects. They've just prompted different things. You could also use Suno for this as well. I love both tools. I actually, like, as a joke now, will pull out Suno with friends and be like, oh, hey, let's make a song for this, right? We have an inside joke. Now we have a song for the inside joke because it's fun. 11 labs, I feel like I use just more for like purely business context, but Suno is really fun. But regardless, that's their audio track. They're then bringing the audio track together with clips that they've taken Midjourney to make the images and then Kling to animate it. I honestly think, I never know how to say it. I think it's Halio is how you say it. It's really good. I think it's better than Kling, to be honest with you. I don't think it's maybe as widely known as Kling, but I like it more. Regardless, you take then the static image or your image prompt and then bring it into either Kling or Halio. And then you're taking that and then actually making the short form video. And they're literally walking you through, right, what your life would be like for 30 to 60 seconds if you woke up in Chernobyl. That's very interesting. You would never be able to create that without AI. Let's be real. Like, AI, or to be fair with us, still advanced technology using AI and enterprise software tools that are extremely expensive, using like top line, some of the best sound effect and really incredible visual effects designers in the world, where that 1 minute might cost you several hundred thousand dollars to produce. That's the traditional way of doing it, which there's no TikTok in the world that, like, unless you get 100 million views, that video is not going to be profitable spending that much on a single TikTok. But now that you can spend, let's call it for real, it's like, you're spending less than $10 in the credits for this, right? It's less than 10. And able to create this, now it becomes profitable. So they're getting hundreds of thousands of views per video. They've grown their channel from nothing to over 500,000 followers. I believe it's at 600K now. When you're listening, it might be more. Each thing is this unique entrance into this world. This is storytelling in a different context and different format. But what I love about it is they're very much recognizing the limitations of where AI is at, like in this very moment. You mentioned character consistency now has gotten a lot better very recently. So you could literally imagine, like, 'cause they started this a couple months ago. Okay, that limitation's gone, but that this format they built around when that limitation was in place. There isn't great limitation around like world and object. So they're not trying to create this type of long form content right now. What they have done is something very interesting. You've built a huge audience now that could, one, buy a book, but two, also could want a full-length film for you. And if I'm thinking about how I'm building an audience and selling before I create this next version of media, I'm going to TikTok, I'm going to Reels, and I'm thinking, what is the movie that I want to create? And then if I wasn't creating a movie, but creating a little show in that universe that was 60-second snippets into it, what would that look like? And then do that. So you could do POV, you could do comedy, you could do tons of different formats, right, that work, but adopting existing formats that are already viral, POV is one of them, and then taking it to this fictional context, like fictional day in the life of characters, is like very interesting. A day in the life of someone like in 23,000, if you're a science fiction author, a day in the life of someone who's married to a billionaire. That's freaking cool, right? A day in the life living on Jeff Bezos's yacht. That's a fun TikTok. These are things that would do well. Like, they would immediately grab someone's attention. If you want to get into the opportunity I'm about to discuss, which is the opportunity coming in AI movies, which is not too futuristic, if you want to get into that now, it's about building an audience that loves similar content to yours and ideally also overlaps with your books. And the ways that you now can market your books are incredible. And bonus tips, take the best performing reels and videos and make them paid ads. You can make a really entertaining paid ad around, I'll use another example, like a werewolf, or I know an author who had spider cats, which is cool. So you have this spider cat video that's maybe you fall in love with a spider cat. That can be a thing. Okay, this did well on TikTok. Let me now run paid ads against it to sell my books. But then the bigger opportunity, or maybe not potentially bigger, but an equally awesome opportunity, we'll see how big it is going to be now. If viewers are coming to you for these videos, they like these videos. What happens when we could turn 30 to 60 second videos into 10 minute episodes? And those 10 minute episodes become 10 episode long seasons or 20 episode long seasons. Now vertical movies is like close to $1 billion annual a year market. Quietly, people don't talk about this, right? Just like people didn't talk about all the things indie authors are creating and how we were tapping into markets and creating content that was never profitable on a traditional bookshelf, right? So now these new technologies leading to quote unquote new bookshelves that we're able to create things for it. And what I'm really excited by now is thinking about this future. What does that look like that's indie led, which is really what I'm now investing my time and energy and corralling my own army to build, and thinking behind this future for movies where we can think about serialized fiction and ebooks and actually create serialized television shows that anyone can create, probably starting vertical. And what I found is that the issues that exist with character consistency now are gone. The issues that consist with world consistency are like still an issue, but I don't know how big of an issue. And given the content that exists now that's still making money, I'm not clear on what is minimally viable from a customer standpoint, from an engagement standpoint, but we are scary close to it. I'm now ready to start diving into testing that and actually saying, what does indie-led serialized television shows look like? What does the business model look like from the ground up? How can we go and do that? So I'm experimenting with a group of like 10 authors right now, but we're all literally going out as a group and doing this and trying to document SOPs and building this just in our own little Discord server. I've got a bunch of friends. I've an engineer who he's dropping out of school right now and he's building the monetization for this. I've got another guy who just quit his job in Hollywood and he's going all in on now learning more about these tools from, again, an SOP perspective. I'm literally nearly going all in behind the scenes on this opportunity around. I am utterly convinced that there's a business opportunity in AI movies that we're right at the cusp of customer engagement, probably already being there in terms of like products being more than good enough. I think that we're at the stage now where if you took you 100 hours to write a book, I think you can do a movie in about 100 hours. I think we're getting close to that. Why not take your IP that's in a book and bring it to the screen? That's what I'm really going all in on. Fictional content already has high demand on even social platforms, which YouTube was traditionally known to be more of a edutainment or maybe blogging or lifestyle platform, game shows or whatever, not like for fiction. Alan Chicken Chow is a great creator who has 90 million followers, insane, all on YouTube, following his fictional show. These are Gen Alpha folks watching it, set in like a fantasy high school, and it's crushing it. It's not episodic. There's tied together because YouTube's algo doesn't work well with episodic, but young kids are already watching everything native to social. They're not even going to Netflix. So the future Netflix is you. It's indie creators already. And you know what's really scary is that Gen Alpha is going to be in high school, like basically now, and Gen Alpha is literally going to be adults. So like we talk about Gen Z being kids, but they're not kids anymore. And Gen Alpha is now the new generation. And Gen Alpha doesn't care about Netflix, right? So Gen Alpha cares only about indie creators. And you could think about it like the people who grew up just with the audiobooks and ebooks, they don't even know what traditional publishing is. Random House, who is she? So that world and thinking about your business in that world, getting familiar with these tools, using these tools to advertise your books now, to build an audience now, and then thinking about that audience in not a distant future. You have insider knowledge. It's almost like insider trading at this point, where like the Kindle's about to come out and you know it. And now you're preparing for it. And you don't have to prepare for it. I'm a freak. I'm weird like that. But at least being aware is nice. And you're now aware. Like the Kindle's coming out, the Kindle moment for TV. And if I'm in Hollywood, I'm scared or I'm quitting my job to go and do this. But if I'm you as an indie storyteller, I'm incredibly excited because you don't need anyone to greenlight your film anymore. You don't need multi-million dollar budgets. You don't need to impress someone, a set of actors, which we love actors, and I think actors will have a place, right? Because a lot of this is going to be hybrid too, to be completely fair. But the fact that we can do fully native AI-generated films and that you in your bedroom can create video but never use a camera is a moment just as big as having the iPhone camera. And we saw platforms like Instagram come out, Snapchat, YouTube totally evolved to be mobile first, Facebook evolved to be mobile first. That shift is just as big because just as now anyone can create with their camera, anyone can create with their mind. And I am just so incredibly excited. So we're going to need new platforms. We're going to need new business models for this, but it's not completely brand new because I think we're literally bringing serialized fiction and opening it up to other creators. So that's what I'm literally working on now. I have nothing to announce outside of I'm spending time in it and experimenting it behind the scenes. And my excitement might be 10x what it should be, but I think that there deserves to be some excitement here, and you deserve to look into this too. There's gonna be new agencies that come out. There's gonna be new studios, AI native studios. There's gonna be whole new jobs built around this, right? So literally, like, you could be a highly skilled video prompt engineer, video AI movie maker, and these people could be very valuable. Imagine taking a revenue share of established IP in the indie space that might not gross millions of dollars, but might gross tens of thousands, multi six figures in something like this. I have no intention to do anything like that. I just want to go build the platform and see if the business works because that's what I love, the network effects, the platform side of things. But when it comes to you guys listening, if you have any itch to do things besides just writing books and want to go in for more, I see this as there's going to be 100 successful businesses spawn from this. and thousands of people who make a living doing things like this. And no one, literally no one in the world is doing this right now. There's not a single person where they're making a living doing this. And in 2 years, we're going to look back and be like, oh, there's thousands of jobs that were created. So maybe one of you listening has that job. Maybe one of you listening is one of those creators who's able to make a living doing something like this. Maybe one of you listening works with someone doing that and goes, I don't care, but I want to at least know. So this is my call out to you. Pay attention, watch this space, and get interested in these tools. So my action item is like, use these tools, have even more fun with it. And yes, think about how it can benefit your business today, because it will, but also think about the skills you're building and how those skills are going to be valuable tomorrow. There's nuances to these new tools, but they're also similar, right? They have similarities. They get more and better and more powerful over time. But the thinking of working and collaborating with this thing is what you need to do. And I want you to take this away from writing, away from just I'm making copy, and now to how do I turn my experiences into things that aren't just books? Because for me, in my world beyond the book, that's what I'm jazzed about.
I love that. I love that. Thank you. That was a lot. In fact, it was just the idea of all of this stuff. I'm like, yeah, I want to be on the movie thing. That sounds super fun. And I'm like, okay, Michael, I want in on all of this because that is something I've always wanted to do. And it's really interesting what you're saying about the technology not quite being there yet, but it's coming. Steph, how many times have we said that in this podcast from day one about something we want to do? Oh, the technology is not there yet, but it will. And then it comes sooner than we think.
A million times at least.
Yeah. I love your advice for people to just jump in and start and play with it and learn it, because that really is where everyone is going to have that leg up. The other thing I really loved about what you were saying is the possibilities of all the new jobs that are going to be created. I have a good friend of mine. She's in a mastermind that I'm in, and she helps write the curriculum for the school district for their computer stuff.
Whoa,
and she is writing the AI curriculum for her students. And I think what we're going to see, whatever the generation after the A or whatever, like that next generation, Beta. Their classroom assignments is going to be making these movies. So that is the future. And it's exciting to me that we get to be part of that. And I'm so grateful to you for sharing that with us. Usually we ask about the workflow, but you've given us some really awesome workflows. I think like our last question about your favorite AI tool, you've talked about a lot of tools. So can you pick a favorite? Is there one that people should really start looking at? Or is it like, no, man, just check them all out?
I think Helio is impressive, and it's lesser known, and it's impressive. So I think you should check that one out, because what it's capable of is really cool. And specifically as well, if you aren't using ChatGPT to help you make better prompts for things like Midjourney and for things like Helio and any of the tools you use, I would recommend doing that, because a lot of times you just have to play around with the prompting, which I know you all talk about all the time. But if you don't have to necessarily come up with all those innovations yourself, you can literally use AI to help you use other AI better, which is hilarious, but it's awesome. So don't just get lost using this tool. You can go to ChatGPT and be like, hey, chat, I'm trying to accomplish this. Tell me what a great prompt would be like for this. That context will be really helpful for the other tools you're working with. But yeah, Helio would be my one tool. I don't want to overwhelm people with any more than I already shared.
That's a great way to get people to go and check out these new tools that are on the market, because we've got Kling, we've got Runway. Those were like the granddaddies of AI video. And now we've got all these new burgeoning companies coming up that are doing really cool stuff too. They see what the foundation companies have done and they're like, yeah, but I'm going to do that different and better. And then you get a chance to reap the benefits and rewards from that. So thank you.
I'm excited.
I love learning about new tools. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And I especially like the ones where people are talking about them and where you can give us that guidance of this is a good tool, because I think every day it seems like in the AI for writing authors group, we get, oh, hey, I heard about this tool. What do you think about this tool? It's some brand new tool no one's ever heard of. And we're like, yeah, nah. But like to have something that, hey, this is a new tool and somebody's got experience with is really good, because there are a million tools out there. But as you pointed out, they're not all going to last. I like that we've got that recommendation of what seems to be a good tool that's going to last.
Yeah, there's so many other tools. I think what we're waiting for in the video space, and I'm not building something akin to this, but we're waiting for a sort of cursor native to like making AI videos, because that's super, super needed because for those who like aren't familiar with the coding space, Cursor allows you to pull in all these different models into one code space and then allow you to like be able to work with them all. So it's like an AI native like IDE, which we're waiting for in kind of video. If folks have been familiar with video, I'd say in writing, we used to use things like Word, which nothing wrong if you still use it, but you might use something like Word, or there was other iterations like Scrivener that were helpful. I think in the video space, the sort of analogy has been like Final Cut Pro, Adobe Premiere, and those tools are useful. And I've used and been on those timelines for hours and hours. And CapCut now is like the new sexy version. But we need a version talking natively with different AI tools. So as like a call out to the community, I think that's something for everyone to collectively keep your minds on. Someone, when they do that and come out with that, I don't know, there's going to be competitors. We'll have to see who's best, because obviously Cursor has the Windsurf competitor, which got bought by OpenAI for $3 billion. Not a bad outcome for those folks. But I think that's what I'm waiting for, because that's going to make this whole process easier. Oh, new AI tool come out. Cool. I'm just plugging and playing this in to my same timeline that we're using to make movies anyways, because we're not reimagining, just like with books, we're not completely reimagining what a movie looks like. We're reimagining how to make it, who can make it, and then by proxy, what can be made, which is exactly what's happening in books. So I think tying that together into one workspace is like absolutely needed here. And I apologize that doesn't exist now, but that's part of being early here, right? Because coding had its big moment really fall of 2024. Video is like having its moment now, but I don't think it's had its like Claude moment yet, when Claude had its like Sonnet update and was like, oh my God, okay, coding's really good now. Or the ChatGPT update when 3 actually started to get better, right? With, oh, okay, like 3.5 now, ChatGPT is seriously good at writing. It's like another level. I don't think we've had that in video yet. So that's the other thing that I think we should all be wary of, is your expectations should be slightly muted. This isn't insane yet. It's impressive, just the fact it's possible. But these tools are quote unquote behind where writing is. I don't know if behind is the right perspective, but like it feels behind.
I was going to say, I think that Adobe will probably be the first one to market. They have AI tools already built into Photoshop. Why wouldn't you build them into Premiere? So I have a feeling that they'll probably be one of the first. And Apple as well is working with a lot of AI companies and doing a lot of AI stuff. And I'm sure that it will be in Final Cut Pro in no time. But there are these sexy new tools like CapCut and whatnot that are probably going to beat them to the market. So we're just going to have to hang in there and see what comes of it, because that is the exciting part. Who's going to hit it first?
I know. It's a cool space to watch.
But here's what I was thinking about as you were saying that, especially if you want to be an early adopter in the space, start learning it and using it now. I think about the FFA and where the FFA started and having their clunky tools and all of that, that I know some people still use and love. And now they've been able to put that in a wrapper and have Plot Drive, which is super cool and so much easier. At least in my opinion, I know some people would disagree and that's okay, but being part of that early adopter and that early development space, that's really the key, because that is how you're going to learn and how you're going to be at the front of the race. Gosh, Michael, I'm so glad you were here today. You have given us so much to think about. Like, my mind is just, whoa, there's so much more we're going to get to do with AI. And I love that I'm excited even more than I was before. Do you have any final thoughts, anything left that you wanted to share with us before we let you go?
Yeah, Kindle Unlimited is going to pay out, what, $700 million to authors this year? Netflix is going to make like $36 billion or something like that. YouTube's going to do $40 billion in AdSense. If indie storytellers are even able to capture 10% of the current market through these AI tools and what's happening, and whether it's new platforms and existing platform shifting, if 10% of that revenue can now be going to IP that has been created by our community, that's insane. And I actually really do believe it could be a lot more than that. But if we just think about 10% disruption here, everyone, it is mind-blowingly big change, this industry. It's not going to 10x our industry, because there's more than just KU payouts industry, but like this is mind-numbingly big to this industry. And to think that this is just the beginning, because it's true, there's more disruption to come, and other even bigger industries and more immersive formats that will be created and that we're also getting to currently disrupt to, which will be future podcasts, because this whole revolution is not stopping anytime soon. So my ending call out to folks is that this future comes faster than you think sometimes, but also the future can be bigger than you think, because the context here is so big.
Let's aim for 10% then, and more into the future, definitely. All right. Yeah. So thank you so much for coming by, Michael. It was awesome talking with you. I love talking with you because every single time I leave and my brain has exploded and now I'm thinking about a million other different things for me to get involved in. So everybody who's been listening, come on by bravenewbookshelf.com and check out the show notes. I'll make sure that you get the link to Michael's Author Sidekicks Substack, especially because he's on there talking about this kind of stuff and more. And you definitely want to be in the know and get all of the information before anybody else does. So come on
Yes.
by. Come on by and read the show notes, click on the links. We would love for you to come by also and subscribe to us on YouTube, do all that good stuff, find us on Facebook, like us there as well. Any closing thoughts, Danica?
No, I think you got it. Look at you. You even remembered the whole like and subscribe thing. I love it. This is the great thing about recording all these great episodes all at once. Again, thank you, Michael. Thank you, everyone, for listening and watching. And as always, if you do have questions, if you have things you want more information about, please do get in touch with us. We would love to hear your suggestions, your thoughts. We haven't done a call out for this in a while because we really have had so many great guests lately, but if there's a burning topic you want to hear more about, please let us know and we'll do our best to get a guest on to talk about that. So thank you, everyone, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys all next time. Okay.
All
Bye,
right.
everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on the Brave New Bookshelf. Be sure to like and subscribe to us on YouTube and your favorite podcast app. You can also visit us at bravenewbookshelf.com, sign up for our newsletter, and get all the show notes.